Oilers, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Well, good evening. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, Truth is our bitch. And Margaret, someone that you admired very much has passed on.
Yes, Roger Ebert.
That's a guy that, well...
Don't you say it, bud, because I will hit you. You know I mean it.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
What are they going to do?
He was going to talk about Mr. Ebert, who had the cancer, and that affected, obviously, his facial appearance. He did not get the recommended prosthetic type surgery that people generally get. He decided, this is me, this is the way it's going to be, and he went through life. And I remember I criticized him a little bit for that.
Well, you thought it was very jarring to see someone look that way, and, well, I don't...
No, we're not going to make any jokes, okay?
Then why are you...
We're not going to make any jokes, I'll belt you. Legendary film critic Roger Ebert has died at the age of 70, reports the Chicago Sun-Times. On April the 2nd, Ebert revealed on his blog that his cancer had returned and that he would be reducing his reviewing duties at the Chicago Sun-Times. Ebert wrote that he would be taking a leave of presence. That's a very interesting term. Where are my glasses, please?
I don't know.
Well, did you steal them?
They're in your pocket. Oh, baby.
You don't see that, Mustache?
I'm sorry.
Woo! They were in your... That's like Laurel and Hardy when the man put the hat on.
Yeah, when he put it on.
Do you mind if I do it? That's like Laurel and Hardy. That...
I'm just putting my glass on. Go ahead.
Never mind.
Like Laurel and Hardy what?
When he put the little guy's hat on.
Yeah, and then he put on a big hat.
Would you...
Hey, watch it. Bud, why don't you shut up? Anyway, Ebert wrote that he would be taking a leave of presence as he underwent radiation treatment, but it appears the cancer had gone too far already. It means I'm not going away. My intent is to continue to write selected reviews, but to leave the rest to a talented team of writers handpicked and greatly admired by me. What's more, I'll be able at last to do what I've always fantasized about doing, reviewing only the movies I want to review. Now, the 70-year-old film critic was first diagnosed with thyroid cancer in the year 2000, and cancerous growths were found on his salivary glands a year later, forcing him to undergo surgeries that left him without an ability to speak. Ebert began working at the Sun-Times as a film critic exactly 46 years ago, and so that would mean he'd been 24 when he went to work there, and became a household name after winning the Pulitzer Prize in 1975 and hosting several movie review TV shows with Richard Roper and the late Tribune film critic Gene Siskel. That was the show that I remember, the Siskel and Ebert show. Was it Siskel and Ebert?
No, it was, yeah.
Bud, you don't know, so be quiet.
Why are you talking, man? Shut up.
It was Siskel and Ebert, yeah. I wonder why Siskel got the top billing. That show, I really liked that show, because Siskel and Ebert... It was the first film criticism show of its kind. I don't really remember seeing a show like that. I do remember seeing film critics like the guy on the Today Show, Gene...
Rayburn.
Why don't you shut your...
Hey!
I'm going to kick his ass.
Gene Rayburn. Gene,
I don't know, man. Gene Tennis?
Gene Tennis? What is it with you, guy? That guy played baseball. Rayburn was a...
He was a movie actor.
No, Gene Rayburn was not a movie actor. He was
I know he's... Well...
But I don't want to hear you. Gene Rayburn was the host of The Match Game and all. He was
like a game show host.
Game show host. Gene... Shalit.
What?
Gene Shalit.
Do you know that a shallot is an onion?
Wasn't that his name?
That's a food.
Right here, yeah, see? Dan agrees. Gene Shalit.
Oh, it wasn't Gene Shalit. If it was Gene Shalit, my name is Bob.
Told me not to say nothing.
I'd just rather you didn't.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Never mind. The 70-year-old film critic was first diagnosed... My name is Bob.
What's so funny about that?
Because there's a lot of people...
All right.
Ow!
Yeah, that felt good.
That stings.
Right. Roger Ebert The 70-year-old film critic was first diagnosed with thyroid cancer back in 2000. He began working at the Sun-Times when he was 24 and became a household name after winning the Pulitzer in 75 and hosting the movie review show with Gene Siskel. Though Ebert was best known for his film review program, his cancer and subsequent inability to speak didn't stop Ebert from doing what he loved, writing columns, reviewing movies, and connecting with his readers. In recent years, he's built a huge audience on Facebook and Twitter where he frequently comments on a wide variety of topics. Cancer took Ebert's ability to talk, eat, or drink, but he refused to be pitied after all he'd been through. In a lengthy 2010 profile, Esquire writer Chris Jones noted the following scene. There's no need to pity me, he writes on a scrap of paper one afternoon after someone parting looks at him a little sadly. Look how happy I am. Roger Ebert had the most watched thumb in Hollywood. With a twist of his wrist, the Pulitzer Prize-winning critic could render a decision that influenced a nation of moviegoers and could sometimes make or break a film. A heavy-set writer in the horn-rimmed glasses teamed up on TV with Gene Siskel to create a format for criticism that proved enormously appealing in its simplicity, uncomplicated reviews that were both intelligent and accessible. Very true. This is the profile in AP that was done of Roger Ebert. Now, he did not have the prosthetic surgery that would have filled out that jaw. And if you see pictures of him, it's quite shocking to see Roger Ebert in with the lack of a jaw, literally. So, you know, his face is contoured in a very strange way, and one that probably a lot of people would find unpleasant. As he said in that line, "Don't pity me," as people are giving him these weird looks. But he refused to have that surgery because he felt, "Hey, this is how I am. This is how I am. This is how I look." You know, I remember I criticized him for it. I said, you know, you've got to have a little respect for, not respect so much as sensitivity for the people around you. And if you have the money and you have the ability to, make it so that your physical appearance is not quite so shocking to people, then why not do it? But you know what? I've changed my mind. I figure people can just damn well get used to it, man. You know, we live in such an age of veneer. I mean, it always has been, but so I liked that show. I liked him. I liked Siskel and Ebert. I liked. I didn't like the other guys, though.
Well, what about, you know, a lot of those shows, like the Harris show? Do you remember him?
There was a Bill Harris, yeah.
Yes, Bill Harris was always smiling. My name is Harris, and do-do-do-do-do, and I wanted to punch him.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah, there was a Bill Harris show, and there was some other. There were a lot of the film critics wanted to try that two-man thing.
What'd that guy Bill Harris do?
He did a film review show. Are you a complete idiot, or are you listening in snatches? What's going on?
What do you mean, snatch?
Yeah, see, she gets to say snatch.
She didn't say snatch. She was listening in snatches. I hit you once, I'll do it again. I don't care if they call the cops. I don't care what.
I'm just trying to say.
Then if you don't know anything about it, shut up. We're talking about an era and a bunch of people that you guys don't know anything about, so just be quiet. Okay?
Why do all those guys get cancer?
Why do all those guys get cancer? You mean the film review guys?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they smoke. Maybe they drink. Maybe it's got nothing to do with being a film critic.
Well,
just because Siskel got cancer doesn't mean that there's something having to do with being a film critic. Don't be such an idiot, bud. Just one day out of the year. Just one day out of the year. Let's make it today. You act like you got about 14 cents worth of brains, to misquote my father, who said 5 cents.
Whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, Ebert's hometown embraced the film critic, hosting the annual Ebert Fest Film Festival and placing a plaque at his childhood home. Ebert also was embraced online in the years after he lost his physical voice. He kept up, as we mentioned, his Facebook, his Twitter accounts with more than 800,000 followers and a blog, Roger Ebert's Journal. And he pissed off a whole new generation of people with that one. But like I said, I really liked the guy. Here's an example. It's a slideshow showing Roger Ebert, and the slideshow kicks off with him in the peak of health. He's heavy, and it's the old Roger Ebert. Now, That's how people prefer to remember him, you know?
Well, yes, because he was healthy then.
But why don't they have a picture of him where he's got no jock?
Because he doesn't... They want to show him...
Because they want to show him when he was healthy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Roger Ebert, as I said, with that film show, the review show he did with Gene Siskel, that's the first time I ever watched a show like that where they were... You could tell these guys really liked movies. That was the thing that I liked about the show, that Ebert and Siskel, they liked movies. I could tell that they were rooting for the movies that they were reviewing. They wanted them to be good. And when they had to review a movie that sucked, they looked disappointed. You know, like, ah, man, this movie sucks because this, that.
What review did they give Star Wars?
Yeah.
Probably a good one. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's possible they might have given it a bad one, right?
Well, they did the thumbs up and thumbs down thing, you know. Speaking of that, we're going to have Doug Danger on here in a few minutes to talk about Roger Ebert. And Doug, of course, picked up on the thumb up, thumb down. He was the guy that pioneered one gay thumb up.
Is that Doug? I didn't know who did that.
That's Doug Danger. Doug Danger's one gay thumb up, two gay thumbs down. He did we'll talk to him about it, but he did a multiple thumb thing. He would say one gay thumb up, but three gay thumbs down. Take it easy, man. We'll be back with Doug Danger to talk about the passing of Roger Ebert and other news here tonight. The world famous... Oh, by the way, my thanks to Bobby Dooley. My thanks to, of course, Art Bell. My thanks to Steve Bozell. God, there's a multitude of people to thank filling in for Phil Henry here in the last few days. In the days to come, as we take some time off, R.C. Collins has been tapped as a guest host. He said yes. We were in negotiations with him and his dad. We've settled on a number that they happen to be, they're satisfied with. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Go.
Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and a word about the Phil Henry website. For $9.99 a month, if you think about it, the Phil Henry website has over 15 years of material. Now, if you think about that, and of course, the present-day material, the podcast, and so forth, that means there's two shows a day that you can listen to. You can listen to the current show, and you could listen to one of the shows from the archives. Now, even if you never slept, if you never went to bed at night, it would still take you month after month after month after month of continuous listening to listen to everything that the Phil Henry website has to offer. And at the end of that experience, you would probably die from dehydration, lack of sleep, lack of food, and the obvious toxins that build up when you do not move your bowels. And
Whoa, hold on for a minute.
Will you let me finish, Phil?
I know, but...
Let me finish. So you can see that for $9.99 for 1 month, all that awaits you, including, yes, a very painful death, but if you get sleep and you eat and you take care of yourself, think of the number of years that you will have to enjoy the Phil Henry Show, the greatest radio show in the history of man on this earth, and the shows in the archives are absolutely stellar. They are loved by, well, they're loved by rank and file alike, the pedestrian people, well, with all due respect, you people, and celebrities, some of whom I would like to name, but I better not, Glenn Beck.
All right, okay.
But listen to the Phil Henry Show. Get a backstage pass.
All right. www.philhenryshow.com. Why'd you go Glenn Beck?
Because I didn't, you know.
All right. Yeah, go over to our website, grab a backstage pass. We would be very appreciative if you did. On the line with us from, actually, Pacific Coast Highways, traveling on his way to the Cambria Film Festival tonight, is Doug Danger. And, Doug, it's good to be with you. I know that you have you got a big night tonight. You're also going to be, what am I hearing there in the background?
I don't know, Phil. Right now I'm having a hard time because I decided to take my brother's bike, and it's cutting out. I'm getting a lot of... Like the plugs are dirty on this thing or something. I'm going to have to pull it over and see what I can do about either I'm going to have to replace the plug or something, or I can't believe this.
You're on PCH on your brother's motorcycle.
Yeah. But for some reason, this thing is, the plugs are dirty or something. Hey, you. Hey, you. Help me push this over. But I'm prepared to do the report, Phil, but I'm on my way to the Cambria Film Festival tonight, as you were mentioning, because there are some first runs that I want to get a review in on to get into the Orange County Courier tomorrow morning. There's a friend of mine that has a film to be opening tomorrow night, Marissa Gone, who has a film called The Flood. Have you heard about this?
What's her name?
Marissa Gone. G-O-I-N. And she is a tremendous filmmaker. I'm sorry, yeah. Well, I start the thing up, you know, and I've got the guy right here. Yeah, fix it, will you? I'm just talking to the guy from the gas station.
Well, it's pretty late at night, man. Is there a film you're going up tonight to catch?
Yeah, what time is it?
Well, on the West Coast, it's 10:20.
Oh, you gotta be... God! Man, fix that, man. I think the plugs are dirty. I missed Marissa. Tomorrow night she's going to be running this thing, so it's all right. But I didn't want to miss it tonight. Because her husband's going to be, there's a bunch of people that are going to be there. Oh, well.
So you missed the showing tonight. Well, let's talk, though, while we have this moment, while you're getting your bike worked on.
Now, my brother's bike. And I'll tell you something, if I can't get this thing, I sure as hell don't want to call him up and have him have to come up with a tow. I mean, with a trailer. Anyway, I know you wanted to talk about the passing of Roger Ebert, and I do too, Phil. And the first thing I want to say is Roger Ebert was... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so this is a big admission for me as a gay man, gay journalist. Roger Ebert was a role model for me, and I think he was straight, but I don't mean to.
Let's not talk about what he was. I don't know.
No, I don't want to do that. But I'm saying I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Whatever Roger Ebert wanted to be, he was not a gay man. I don't know if he's a gay man, but I'm a gay man. And he was a role model for me as a writer. He was a role model for me as a person, because I thought he was very honest. He had a great, you call it, his blog was fantastic. And I felt that the blog was something that kind of allowed him to what you doing with it now, man? What are you doing with it now, man?
I'm not kidding.
What? Yeah, what is it?
Doug.
Sorry. Hold on. What?
That's carburetor.
Carburetor? Bull crap. No way. No way. No way. This guy's trying to... Easy, easy, easy. Easy! What do you think that is, man? Ain't no talking toy.
No, it's not a carburetor.
Hey, man. Oh, just one second, Phil. I'm sorry.
Come on, Doug. Every time I'm on the phone these days with people...
One second. Hold on. Hey, buddy. Hey, you. Don't tell me that bike is almost brand. My brother rebuilt that carburetor, huh? I don't know, this guy.
You know, Doug, if I were you, I'd be nicer to the guy, man. Where are you?
I said I'm up 4 miles south of Cambria.
Well, dude, you're up on PCH. I don't know, be nice to the guy.
What do you mean, be nice to the guy? If the bike don't work, the bike don't work. I'll spend a night sleeping on the side of the road or something. I don't know what I'll do. I'll find, there's a motel down here or something. But anyway, Roger Ebert, for me, Phil, was a great role model. As a writer, and everybody knows that it was Siskel and Ebert, they did the thumb up thing. Remember that? One thumb up, two thumb. You know that?
Yes, exactly. And your gay thumb, you modeled that on them?
Well, I mean, I didn't model my gay thumb on it, because the gay thumb, I did. What do you want? Yeah, up yours.
Doug, where are you?
I'm at a gas station, man. I'm at a gas station. I'm Doug Dangle. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What do you think I'd be? What's so funny, man?
Where do I think you'd be? I think you'd be at your newspaper, if you're telling me you're a journalist.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I'm out, about, I'm doing my job, I'm writing, I'm getting the story. Well, look at that. Some guy almost got run over here. What the hell's going on out here tonight, man? So anyway, what I'm trying to do, Phil, is make my way up to Cambria Film Festival. But like I said, I got this guy who's going to put the carburetor back. You figured it out yet, man? Have you figured it out yet?
Come on, Doug.
What's the matter?
Are you doing a report for me? Are you getting your bike fixed?
Whoa! What are you doing? Hey, hold on. I took my bike out there. That's my brother's motorcycle. Phil, Roger Ebert, for me, was a guy.
Oh, man, how many times you got to rep? Hold on, I got to go talk to this guy.
We'll be right back. I apologize. We have Doug Danger with us. We're going to talk about Roger Ebert and only Roger Ebert when we come back and how he came up with the thumb up thing, the gay thumb up. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Would you come on, bud?
Hey. Come on, man. That ain't your little sister tricycle, man. Huh? Hey.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. We've had Doug Danger with us on the line from just south of Cambria, California this evening. He was on his way up to the Cambria Film Festival tonight and is talking to us about the passing of Roger Ebert, but he also had a problem. He's on his brother's motorcycle tonight. Doug, you've ridden out all the way up from Orange County?
Yeah, well, I came up this afternoon. I stopped off and talked to some of the guys. I know some of the guys there at the L.A. Times Bureau there in Ventura. I wasn't too far away from you. But then it was here about, maybe 5 minutes before I went on the air with you. I felt the bike was missing a bit. I thought maybe the plugs were gone bad on it. I got it over here at this gas station. You don't want me to mention the gas station?
Well, I don't care if you tell me where it is. I don't want you know.
No, I'm not going to say that. You mean the brand of gas?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that. It's just Shorty's, right?
Yeah.
Shorty's. He does automotive repair and everything else, but this guy's telling me all about how he knows bikes. You tell me you know bikes.
Just give me a chance.
Yeah, I'll give you a chance, but what I'm going to do, Phil, is test ride it.
Doug, we're here to talk about Ebert.
I know. I swear to God. I swear to Almighty God that I'm going to talk about it. If you just let me see this thing, man. Fire it up, okay? Phil, I swear to God, I'm going to let you know. Let me hear it. Let me hear it, man. Rev it, man. I don't know. Let me try it. I'm going to try it out here. I'll be right back, Phil. This guy here, what's your name, man?
Ward.
It's Ward? This is Ward, Phil. Hold on.
Yeah.
Who is this?
My name is Ward.
Hi, Ward. How are you? It's Phil Hendry.
Hi.
Now, that's the guy I'm interviewing there. Can you tell me what's wrong with the bike?
Oh, yeah. He's got dirt in the fuel line. He was taking it off-road. That's what he told me he was doing anyway. There he goes again.
Yeah!
Is that a Harley?
Yeah.
And he was taking it off-road.
That's what he said he did, yeah. So he had dirt. He had a problem. Yeah, he did have a problem. See that? He's doing exactly what he told me not to do. He told me not to do that. The phone, man. Hey, Phil?
Yeah, just...
5 more minutes. Hold on. You told me not to do that. Mind your own business. God... I'll be right back.
Woo!
Yeah, see, he's riding around out there, and I told him that he had to be more careful, but he took it off-road. The carburetor is... And yeah, the plugs are dirty, but there was filth, dirt. What are you trying to do? Trying to kill somebody?
You know how to fix this thing, man.
I did. I did fix it.
Do it right, man. Fix it right.
Look at that. Yeah, Phil, hey, listen. 2 more minutes, I swear to God.
No, I'm going to hang up, man.
Just 2 more minutes, man. Don't be such a homophobe. Yeah, see, he's... There we are. Yeah, he's not doing the right thing with the motorcycle.
I apologize, and I know that we're on the air right now, and we were supposed to do an interview, and what happened, I don't know what happened, but apparently he...
Hold on. You're gonna ruin it. You're gonna ruin it.
Tell me what to do, man.
Woo!
Hear that?
Now, see, that's the way it's supposed to sound. This way it's not... Listen to this. What'd you do to it, man? No, that's not right.
Yeah, I know it ain't right. What'd you do to it?
God, hold on, Phil. I gotta take one more chance with this thing. Hold on. Let me just... Yeah.
I'm going to let you go. Your name's Ward?
Yeah, my name is Ward, yeah. He'll come back here in a second, but he's acting like an ass. He's acting like an ass. He's doing wheelies.
Wheelies? What? All right, tell him that when he comes back, all right? Ward, are you there?
Hold on. Yes, sir.
When he comes back, you tell him that his friend Phil had to go, that I cannot... What was that?
Well, he was right here waiting for the phone.
Well, when he comes back, give him the phone, okay?
Yes, sir.
But... I tell you what, tell him that when this guy...
Oh, hold on. What happened?
Nobody knows how to drive around here!
He almost got hit by a car.
Tell him when he comes back that his friend Phil could no longer wait, that I'm not going to sit here... What's going on, man?
Hold on for a minute. The man wants to talk to you.
Hold on!
The man wants to talk to you.
Never mind.
Oh, my God. That sounds to me like he's gone half mad.
God, going out there riding like an idiot.
I don't know what's up with him. You know what the problem is? The problem is he's got his brother's bike, so he doesn't really care. The guy just told me he took it off-road. He's got dirt in the fuel line. There's probably rocks rattling around in the carburetor. And he's acting like it's his bike. He's out there doing wheelies. Did you hear that?
What's a wheelie?
A wheelie is when you stand it up on the rear wheel.
Yeah, ain't you ever never seen it at a drag strip?
No, I ain't never seen it. God.
Well, you see it on a wheelie, though, right?
No, I don't know what a wheelie is.
It's when you make the wheels go up. So anyway, apparently what happened was, the motorcycle crapped out on him, so we have not been able to... Is that him?
Doug. Yeah.
Put some gas in it, man. Just put some gas in it. Just do me that much of a favor, man. Put some gasoline in it. That guy, you know how to do that, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, put some gas in it. I'm waiting to be on the radio.
Doug!
Oh, Phil, I'm sorry.
Yeah, are we back now? Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I just told the guy to gas it up. I'm getting out of here. I don't want to leave my bike with this guy because I know what's going to happen. You know, this guy, I'm going to come back in the morning and the bike will be useless. And I did what I did. I just did a couple of test runs. I think it's okay, but...
All right, can we talk about the Roger Ebert passing?
I'd be more than happy to.
Roger Ebert died, and...
No?
Well, tell me a little bit about what he meant to you.
Well, as I told you, I think Roger Ebert was a guy that had... I think he was a guy that had... Yeah, you too, pal. He was a guy that I think had an enormous impact on a lot of journalists like myself, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But his impact on me, it gave me the courage, I think, to be a gay man and a gay journalist. It didn't give me the courage to come out, because I knew I was coming out of the closet. And I knew I wanted people to know that I was a gay man and a gay journalist, but he gave me the guts that it took to say I was a gay man and a gay journalist. And then the other thing that he did is he gave me the guts to do something that I'd wanted to do for a long time, and that was to do one gay thumb up, three gay thumbs, well, you know.
Yeah, the gay thumb.
Yeah, in doing my film reviews, because when I saw him doing his thumb up, thumb down, and I saw Gene Siskel did it too. So Siskel, he gave Siskel the opportunity to have the glory from the thumb up, thumb down thing. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was by somebody else. That was my bike. That's not my brother's bike. That was very generous of him to let Gene Siskel use the thumb up, thumb down. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows who came up with that?
He came up with it, man. Roger Ebert came up with it, but when he did the TV show, he allowed Gene Siskel... Hold on for a minute. Sounds like crap.
No.
Yeah, it does. It sounds crappy. How much do I owe you? Oh, man.
Okay, so Gene Siskel...
Yeah, let Gene Siskel... Gene Siskel was a guy that I think benefited from Roger Ebert because Roger Ebert gave Gene Siskel the opportunity, you know, to... gave Gene Siskel the opportunity to be on the show with him and to let him do, you know, what he was doing, which was basically, doing the movie review thing. Now, here's the thing that I think is so good about Roger Ebert was the fact that the thumb up, thumb down thing, I did use thumb up, thumb down, but I used thumb up, thumb down in my way, which was the gay thumb up, gay thumb down, gay thumb go all around. That was mine. That was all mine. But I got, and as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I got that thumb run. No, it sounds crappy, man. It sounds crappy. I got that from Roger Ebert.
The gay thumb up, gay thumb down, gay thumb go all around. What is that?
That was what we would say, what I would say, if the movie was good, gay thumb up. If the movie was bad, gay thumb down. If I wasn't quite sure, gay thumb go all around. Then I hit on the idea that I was going to have a mixed review. If I heard a movie that I thought was good in some respects, but it was bad in other respects, because I think the audience deserves to have a thorough review, Phil. And as a gay man with gay journalist, that's what I gave. So what I said was one gay thumb up, but four gay thumbs down. That was a more clear review, because you'd say, well, I'll give it a gay thumb up for the characterization, but four gay thumbs down because everything else was no good. You know, and I wouldn't have to say what it was because people would know, well, Doug is saying four gay thumbs down, so that must cover four separate things. And I guess I'm going to have to get up on my, get up off my rear end and go out and see the movie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Why do you keep starting the bike and turning it off?
Because I want to make sure the damn thing's fixed before I take it out here on the freeway. I don't want to die. You understand? God, man, you're not going to die. Are you telling me that, Ward? This guy's name is Ward. Do you love that? Is your last name Cleaver? Hey, you. Hey, buddy. Is your last name Cleaver? I said, is your last name Cleaver? Yeah? Is your wife's name June? Were you a little hard on the beaver last night, man? Hey, man. Hey, man.
You're on the air with me, Doug. Do you mind?
Sorry. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I just was trying to give the guy a hard time. Now, hold on. Here he comes now. Hold on for a minute. This guy's a crack-up. Hey, man. Were you a little hard on the beaver last night, man? Shut up. Here's your change. Thank you. Yeah, the guy, he's got no sense of humor.
You know, I don't know what's up with you tonight, man. You're acting really squirrely.
Why?
Because you got your brother's bike, you're blowing you're going up and down the road doing wheelies, and you're giving this guy you're giving him a hard time because his name's Ward.
Even you think it's funny, don't you? Here he comes again. Hold on for a minute.
Now, come on, Doug. I got to go. No.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Hey, buddy. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. My name's Doug Dangler. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Huh? Because your name's Ward, right? Have you got a kid named Tony? Or not Tony. Have you got a kid named Wally? Hey, buddy. I'm just giving him a hard time, Phil, because... Never mind. Here he comes. Hold on. Hey, Ward. Ward. He's not even laughing.
You know something, man? You're really getting on my nerves, too. Okay?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You understand?
I don't... Get out of here, will you? Gay thumb up, gay thumb down, gay thumb go all around.
That is filthy. I know what he's referring to, and I won't comment on it, but why you stayed on the air with him as long as you did?
What did he do wrong?
None of your business.
But I will not say none of your business, because you know he's going to ask.
He didn't do anything wrong so much as he wasn't focused, okay, bud? I'm asking him questions. He's running up and down the street on his motorcycle. He's got this guy. Now he finds out that the guy that works at the gas station, his name is Ward, and so this is a whole new thing. I've never heard Doug so disorganized. It's almost as if he's high, but I know that can't be. Maybe it's just the fact that he's got his brother's bike for the night and he's decided that he's in an easy rider or something. I don't know what his trip is. All right, we'll be right back here, folks, with more news and more to come, forthcoming, other stuff. You know how it is. Right? Okay, cool. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. R.C. Collins has signed a deal with the Phil Hendry Show to guest host, so we'll be talking with him about that when we come up next hour. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil
I'm
Hendry
sorry,
Show.
Huh? I'm sorry, man. Hey, how's Whitey, man? Hey, man, how's Lumpy? How's Lumpy?
Famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next hour, we've got R.C. Collins, who, as I mentioned, has signed a limited deal with the Phil Hendry Show to be a guest host. He is the only one of our guest hosts that has actually negotiated for a flat fee. We had to deal with his father, so we'll be talking with him about that. We also have Dean Wheeler, who will be discussing what's been happening in the career end for Emerelda Wheeler, his wife. He's been managing her, trying to break her into not only a variety of club dates and getting a tour going for her, but eventually a recording contract. His wife, Emeralda, who originally had commenced a singing career on the occasion of Dean celebrating the release of a documentary that he'd done, and it's been completely overshadowed by her singing career. There was some nasty news associated with all of that, having to do with some domestic violence that Dean had not been involved in quite some time. So, you know, I hope we're not seeing the, you know, Margaret, I hope we're not seeing the decline and fall of Dean Wheeler.
Well, if a man has a history of domestic violence, as Mr. Wheeler did have, I don't care how many spas he opens. I don't care how much aromatherapy he's involved in. I don't care the holistic world and the new age world that he may be involved in. That man is a liability, and I think this is a lesson for a lot of people. You may have a history of drug running, violence, murder, rape. Just because you've opened up an aromatherapy shop or you're giving massages doesn't mean that you are rehabilitated.
But you know, a lot of people, why'd anybody think that?
A lot of people, Bud, think that if on the outside they look as if they're something special, that maybe on the inside they've changed, or maybe the guy's looking to con people. I don't know.
Well, just because you're giving facials, and if you'll pardon the expression, I don't want to hear anything from him. And by facial, I mean something you get in a spa, Bud.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bud. You understand? It's a massage. It's a
Yeah, I know what it is. You said you got one. One time?
I got a man's facial, okay?
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Woo! Ow!
Yeah!
God, man, is this a joke?
Don't joke like that.
Well, yeah, it's a very unfortunate word.
Why is that an unfortunate word?
You're talking about if you're going to a spa, you're going to get something healthy, and then you say, yeah, I'm going to get a facial. Man, you people are bound to think the wrong thing.
Oh, will you get out of here? They have at this place that I often go to out in the desert, they've got a cinnamon thing, and they recommend it for men, okay?
What is it?
Be quiet. I'm going to say the word, it's a facial. And what you do is they put on your face, I don't know, what do they call it, Margaret, a mask?
Yes, it's a mask. They put the cream on your face. Well,
yay!
God, what a baby, man.
You're the one that's doing it.
Yeah, you're talking about getting a facial and they put a cream on your face.
Why don't you grow up? Just this day, as Phil said, just today, we'll make this grown-up day.
Everything with you guys, you're going, okay, a facial, it's something that you put on the face. It's to help rejuvenate, okay, and then you towel it off.
Uh-oh.
Man, even I'm going to start hitting you now.
You know, Bud, with you, everything's a double entendre. Everything with you is a double entendre.
I don't even know what that means.
Everything that's said has some sexual meaning. Everything that's said with you, you go...
You're the guy that's saying it.
I'm the guy that's talking about a spa treatment. Okay?
Every time Phil said towel off, well...
Don't say it, okay? Spa treatment, a lot of guys are ugly like me, okay? A lot of guys are ugly like me. Will you give me that?
Well, that much I will agree with.
Thank you. And so what they do is they take an ugly guy like me, go into the spa, just like the women go in there, okay?
Yeah.
And the women go in, and they get a facial. Oh, God.
Wow!
Get him out of here, will you?
Go on, man.
What are you doing?
Go on.
Get him out of here.
Give him a kick for me.
So in any event, you know...
So what did you do? You say that I know you're ugly, so what did they do?
Thank you very much for that.
Well, you're the one that said it.
Well, it's a cinnamon thing. And I think I mentioned getting this treatment or this spa treatment because they use cinnamon. It's like it burns, man, like it's a sunburn. And you'd swear to God, they put this mask on your face, and you swear your face is burning off. That's how hot and stinging this cinnamon thing is. And then when they wipe it off your face... And it feels great, because then your face feels really good. Now, I look in the mirror, I ain't any better looking, but I sort of, for a few seconds, I think I am.
Well, yes, exactly. So it's very healthy. Why are we on this topic?
Because you're saying just because of Dean.
Oh, yes. Well, because if Dean gave those kinds of facials, it doesn't mean he isn't a murderer.
Well, no one's calling him a murderer yet, okay? And I'm not even saying that the guy's guilty of spousal abuse, but some ugly stuff has happened. We'll be talking to Dean and Emeralda next hour. I don't know if we'll be talking to her. And we have coming up as well, R.C. Collins will be discussing with us his forthcoming guest hosting gig here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com is live streaming video of our show, as well as a daily podcast of the show, as well as our thousands and thousands of hours of archive, and our new Classic Phil Hendry podcast, which up to this point has been free, is now behind the paywall, so you BSPs, that is yours. The most recent 25 are available on iTunes, and all of the others are premium content, so you must have a backstage pass now to listen to the first 120 of these classic podcasts that we have made available up to this point on iTunes. So get a backstage pass. There's a lot more that is going to be happening here in the days and in the weeks to come. And also, of course, the live streaming video content on our show, of our show, is available mobile on the iPhone, on the Android, on iPad, on a multitude of devices. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show videocast. We'll be right back. Next hour, R.C. Collins and Jay Santos. It's Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. There is where we have our live streaming video cast. There is where we have 15 years worth of archives. There's where the really great radio is at our website. And to that end, our daily podcasts, which we have been releasing, will not end. They're going to continue, although we have put the most recent podcast behind our premium paywall, so only backstage pass holders can listen to the first 120 episodes of that podcast. The most recent 25 are free, but the first 120 are behind that subscription paywall. We're going to have a daily podcast coming up this coming summer that will be of great length, an hour or more, and a lot of stuff. We're going to have a video podcast that we're planning on releasing as well. I mean, where's the business? You know, where is the future? That's what I'm talking about, and that's where we're headed. 877-876-PHIL. I'm giving out the phone number. We haven't taken a phone call on this radio show in so long that it doesn't make any difference. This is a show we don't need to take phone calls. God knows that it has not been an easy show to do over the last, I don't know how many, it seems like an eternity. It seems like 100 years. And but we will continue to endeavor. For those of you who have asked, where are you now, Phil? What stations are you on? I get more questions from people now. It's like never ending. What station are you on? Where? And I say, well, it's, you know, I said, well, why aren't you on here? And why aren't you? I said, don't ask me. What are you asking me? I don't know. Well, can't you talk? No, nobody talks to me. Nobody tells me anything. So I know that whatever stations we're on right now, all five of them or whatever they are, we appreciate that very much, but you can get a backstage pass at our website, and not only do you get to hear the show, you can also hear the behind the scenes, because we have an unedited, and believe me when I tell you, unedited and uncensored pre-show. We have an unedited and uncensored, I guess you could call it, unedited and uncensored commercial break part as well. I don't even know if we've, well, I better not say.
Well, do you have commercials?
Never mind, okay. Yes, so you get to see that part of the show as well as listen to it. So a backstage pass is worth that and more. PhilHendryShow.com, PhilHendryShow.com. And let me just leave it at that. With the backstage pass is you see a feed and you hear a feed that is for subscribers only. It's a commentary. It's a much, much bigger view of the radio show and a much, much bigger view of the behind the scenes. Again, it is closed only to our subscribers. And to get a subscription, go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass, which has been misinterpreted by a lot of people. And there's Bud What is it with you, man?
Well, I'm funny.
Yeah, man, but everything with you is funny, like you're saying, double entendre and everything.
Double entendre, not double entendre. And yeah, everything I say, man, with you has got to have something to do with something depraved. All right, on the line with us is R.C. Collins. R.C. joining us from, he's from actually Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. We're going to talk with R.C. here. The negotiations that we had with you and your father, R.C., were, I would say, it's probably, I didn't think it would be that involved for just someone who's going to be guest hosting on our show, but your dad was involved. He drove a hard bargain. We were very, very happy to make the deal with him and with you, and we look forward to having you guest host the radio show.
We really appreciate it, Mr. Henry. We just felt that it was very, my dad felt it was very important that I get, you know, there's a certain price that I probably feel I command. And we felt that we got the price that we wanted to get.
All right, and I'm glad. And having you guest host on our program is of importance to us because you have been a popular guest host in the past.
Hold on.
He's going to tear his head off.
That's my friend Watson, Phil. You remember Cadet Watson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Say it again.
Michael Myers.
Watson's the guy who wants to tear Michael Myers' head off and wanted to know if you'd have him on your show.
No, I will not have him on my show, okay?
No, he won't. Why not?
I'm not going to compliment. I'm not talking to him, okay?
He's not talking to you, Watson.
What?
He's not talking to you.
Hey, I'm talking to you. All night long, I've met guys who are getting their motorcycles repaired.
Be yelling at me about it. I didn't do anything about it.
What are you doing?
Just go sit down, Watson. Have a yogurt. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I apologize. Watson wanted to come on your show and talk about ripping Michael Myers' head off and ripping him a new one.
I know all about your friend Cadet Watson. Is this guy mentally challenged or something?
Wait, well, hold on. Get a yogurt. No, I don't eat that. I don't eat that slop. Give me a coffee. I don't eat that crap. Give me a coffee, black coffee.
All
right. Watson's all messed up. I mean, his dad put him at Bradley Military Academy, too, on account he wanted to teach him some, you know, to be a man and everything. And then they found out that his grandma used to say that Watson's touched. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah, that's what the old timers called being mentally, you know, like being nuts.
Well, so his grandma thinks he's nuts? He probably is. He wants to rip Michael Myers a new ass.
I know. I've heard. He knows that Michael Myers doesn't exist, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, he knows. Well, what do you mean he doesn't exist? In some way, there's probably a Michael Myers out there somewhere. Watson wants to rip his head off and crap down his neck. Hold on for a minute. What? No, man, I don't want the yogurt. You get it. I want black coffee. Black. Good and strong.
Where are you guys?
Down at the mall.
It's almost midnight.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. You guys have time off?
Well, we got a little bit of spring vacation left over, and me and Watson got into our dress uniforms and come down here, and it's just for looking, you know, at the store windows and everything in case anybody needs assistance.
Whoa, say that again?
I said we got into our dress uniforms, come down here to the mall in case nobody needs assistance. Well, what we're really doing, we're just seeing if women are... You know, we're scoping out women and everything.
Oh, in your dress uniform, scoping chicks.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we're not all, you know, we're not, like, playing pocket pool or anything. We're pretending like, you know, we're window shopping.
Oh, that's real manly.
Well, I mean, well, whatever, we're not holding hands or anything. Here. Okay. He's giving me the I don't want yogurt, man.
Yeah, you said you did.
No, I didn't, man. I didn't say I wanted yogurt. Go back and get me a coffee. I want a black coffee, you dimwit. God.
Okay, R.C., let's talk about you guest hosting on the show, okay?
Roger.
What do you plan on doing? What would you... You're going to have to carry 3 hours, not just a phone call. A three-hour show. What would you plan in that eventuality? I don't know when I'm going to be going on vacation next, probably next week. What would you be planning?
I think there's an awful lot that can be planned out. America's military future, my interest right now is in the strength of our country. I mean, I got to tell you something, Mr. Henry. You take a look around and everything. You know, I think Obama has really weakened the nation, and I know I shouldn't say that as a member of the military. I don't want to question my commander-in-chief, but technically he's not my commander-in-chief until I go to West Point, which I do hope that I will do.
Well, all right, so how's he weak in the country? He went out, he got bin Laden, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean...
And he's used the drones to strike at the terrorists. That doesn't look like we've taken our foot off the gas in terms of the war on terror. If anything, he's obviously gotten a lot of his liberal friends angry at him for that.
Well, yeah, he has and everything, but I think it's just the appearance. Well, I mean, well, I don't really know, but I know that he's weakened it because my dad has said that he has weakened it, and my dad voted for McCain, and he voted for Duffy. So,
who's Duffy?
What?
Who's Duffy?
Mitt Duffy?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney?
Yeah, are you talking about for president?
Well, I don't know. I know my dad was saying that Obama's no good and he's going to vote for Duffy.
Obama's no good? He's talking about Romney. Was it the presidential election?
I don't know.
Well, what was he voting for?
Well, he was voting when everybody was voting back in November.
That's for president.
Well, it was somebody else, though. It wasn't for president. Well, yeah, hold on for me. Hey, Watson. Watson!
Yeah?
Who ran for president?
Obama and... Billy.
And Billy, that's all he knows.
Billy? I don't know who Billy... Well, your friend is nuts.
No, he's not nuts.
Okay, he's not nuts. I don't know who Duffy is, but your dad's a conservative?
Yeah, I would say very much. Well, I'm not really sure. If when you say conservative, what's Duffy?
Look, RC, I gotta tell you, I don't know who Duffy is. Does your dad like Obama?
Yeah, he thinks Obama's okay.
Then why did you say that he's weakening the country?
Well, he doesn't like Obama weakening the country, but there's other areas that he says he's good on. Hey, hold on for a minute, Phil. Hey.
Well, we got to keep talking to this Watson guy, man. You're going to be doing a talk show, okay?
Yeah.
And you're going to be hosting the show. Are you going to have Watson there? No, he's not going to guest host with you.
Well, I thought I could...
No. You and you alone. And you're going to have to talk about something. Now, what are you going to talk about?
Well, I was going to talk about Duffy and...
Who the hell is Duffy, man?
God, man, keep it together, you know? It ain't like I'm talking about the end of the world or anything. You ask me what I'm going to talk about.
First of all, you tell me that your dad doesn't like Obama because Obama's weak in the country, and you agree with that. Then you tell me, well, your dad actually likes Obama except for a few things. I say, well, what is that? He doesn't know. Who's Duffy? I don't know. Who's he running for? I don't know. Is he liberal or conservative? I don't know. Is your dad liberal or conservative? I don't know. What are you, RC, liberal or conservative?
Mr. Henry, I'm a soldier for the United States. For the United States. Okay? For the United States. Okay, period. I'm a soldier. I'm just a soldier. I'm just a dog-faced.
We're dog-faced.
Yeah, Watson agrees, too.
You're a cadet, man. You're a cadet. You're not a soldier yet. Even you said you have the right to criticize. Let's take a break, okay?
Got a right to criticize. Let's take a break.
We're taking a break. We'll be right back. R.C. Collins.
Boy, you really hit a home run with him, didn't you?
Yeah, we have an R.C. on.
And his old man's driving a hard bargain. Well, you know, it's R.C. Collins. I'll never forget his dad's words. Hey, it's R.C. Collins, you know? He's looking at me like that, like he might as well be saying William F. Buckley. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil
really
Henry Show.
I don't want that crap. I want the other crap.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking to R.C. Collins, and he also is with his friend Watson. They are down at, I think they're down at the Altadena Mall there, or the North Pasadena Mall. We're also going to be joined by Chris Collins, R.C.'s father, who was the man that I did the main negotiation with on R.C.'s short-term deal to help to fill in on our show. And Chris, sir, how are you? Good. It's good to be with you, and it was a pleasure doing business with you.
Well, it was a great pleasure. You're a real gentleman to do business with us, and I think RC's going to do very well for you.
Okay, and when you talk to RC, is RC there with you?
Yes, he is. Come here, son.
RC, I wanted to ask you a question. because your father's on the phone there. You and your dad have reconnected after so many years. You were living with your mom, right?
Yes, sir. I was living with my mom down in Chatsworth.
And Chris, you took RC from that home. Now, you guys told me that you didn't have a problem talking about this.
No, I don't have a problem at all. Yes, sir.
All right. You took RC out of that home, and you live where?
Well, Bill, I live up in the Marina District of San Francisco. I have a home there. We also have a home in Monterey. And I operate Collins Prefabritures, which is a construction materials for prefab homes. We've been very successful with it. And when I found out that RC was getting up to no good down there, and his mother, as you know, has since been in rehabilitation for alcoholism and drug addiction, and RC was he was running wild in a railway tunnel down there and doing some sort of, what did you call it, gap? No, it's not gap, it's called goth, and it wasn't Satanism or anything, but it was pretty close. Well, you can understand I'd be very upset about that. He's got this friend Watson here, okay, fine. I want the boy to have nothing but the best, that's why I put him at Bradley. Now, this Watson, I'm not... You should be careful, Dad, about how you talk about Watson. No, I'm not going to be careful of anything. I'm not going to be careful of anything. I'm going to... Watson, come here for a minute, son.
Yeah?
Now, you know that I don't think you're a very good influence on RC, as you want to rip the head off of a guy. He's always talking about wanting to rip off the head of Michael Myers and crap down his neck. I think that's pretty childish.
Well, I mean, what would you do?
Well, what would I do?
Well, let's not engage him in
This is important, Phil. We're talking about my son. I took him out of that home that he shared with his mother. She slept her days away, drank away her nights, slept away her days. And I picked my son up out of a railway tunnel in Chatsworth where he was sacrificing chickens. Yeah, Dad, but they were barbecued. I understand that, but they weren't alive. But it's the thought that counts when it comes to Satanism. And that's what was happening. Now I find out he's hanging around with this Watson. The kid's standing right next to me, but because I'm very powerful in business, even though this boy is 6'6" and about 300 pounds, he's not going to tell me what to do. I tell him. He doesn't tell me. Isn't that right, Watson?
Yes, sir.
So you are not going to rip Michael Myers' head off and crap down his neck. You know why?
Why?
Because there's no such person. There's no such person. Dad, I already told you, he doesn't care. You don't think that there is. He took the phone back. This is the proof. Hold on. You look at that. Woo! See, Mr. Henry, this is the problem with my father. He just saw two girls go by, and they're only 60. I'll talk to Mr. Henry. Why don't you guys get lost, Watson? Take RC over for another yogurt. I don't want a yogurt. I told you I want black coffee. Then go get black coffee. Go ahead, Watson. Get lost, will you?
Yes, sir.
RC needs the proper supervision, sir. You'd agree?
Absolutely.
All right. He just mentioned that you were scoping out a couple of 16-year-olds.
That's slander. That's absolute slander. And I would ask you to watch it.
Wait, hold on for a minute. I was quoting your son.
Yes, my son said that, but even though he said that, I'm telling you that I don't want you to say that. All right? Now, I watched two women go by. If you say they're 16, if RC thought they were 16, all right, they were 16. They looked to me, for all the world, to be 41, 42 years of age.
41 years of age? All I'm saying is that the boy needs to have the right influences.
Well, that's why I don't like this Watson kid saying he's going to crap down Michael Myers' neck. What is that about?
Okay, right there. What were you doing there?
Where? I was looking at what was walking by. Don't you do that? Don't you do that?
I don't linger over if there are a couple of kids.
Well, Mr. Henry, are you here right now? You don't know what I'm doing. I'm on the phone with you. I'm talking to you. My son's getting yogurt and ice cream and coffee, and he's trying to be a boy for the first time in his life. And I'm trying to give him everything that I have, everything that he's been lacking. And a couple of women walk by. You say they're 16. I say they're 40. Who's the quibble?
I will just tell you this much. If these are actual girls underage, you should watch what you're doing around your son. This is the only thing. I'm not trying to tell you how to be a father. I'm not trying to tell you how to do anything. But the kid, like you said, I agree. He's had a tough tough time of it.
My son, Mr. Henry, is the most important thing in the world to me right now. I've got him working this summer. He's going to be working with me at the plant. But we've had problems with him. His stepmother is a woman that has tried her very best. She is a lady. She's full-figured. She has a big chest. And I'm just going to say this to you. I caught RC getting inappropriate. Hold on, here he comes.
What do we do? I crapped on his neck.
What's up, Dad? RC, isn't it true that you were inappropriate with your stepmother last summer? Well, I mean, I walked by her and I brushed against them.
Heard about that?
You didn't hear about nothing.
You brushed against? What are you talking about?
I walked by my stepmother and I brushed. It was hard not to, Dad, because of the hugeness. See, I don't want you to talk like that because to me that's disrespectful. Check that. Hey, watch it. Hey, you want to watch who you're? Hey, you. Boy, this guy just bumped into me. Boy, you want $300 worth, don't you, pal? Yeah. I don't. Punk. RC walked by his stepmother last summer, Phil, and very inappropriately. You guys want to shut up? I'm on the phone over here. Come on, Dad, watch it, will you? These are friends of mine. How you doing, Turk? Yeah, what's up, man? Yeah. So, Phil, I swear, I'm gonna wind up going to jail tonight if you don't get these people out of here.
All right, what's the problem here?
I got people standing around eavesdropping on my phone conversations, and you're asking me why I'm looking at young ladies that have... Hey, do you guys want to shut up? I'm on the phone!
All right, take a break here. I don't know what's happening there. Would you get them under control?
Yeah, ARC, you got to tell your dad just to get under control. Mr. Henry said so. Yeah.
Hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. You gotta get him under control, man. It's all like, what? I don't know. You gotta do it, because Mr. Henry's getting pissed off. You better do it. Yeah, I'm saying so.
You just get off the phone and put him on hold already.
What? I gotta put you on hold. Yeah. It's your fault.
Phil Henry.
Back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're just showing mug shots on Phil TV from the Chicago area. It says mugs in the news, a collection of Chicago area photos and some of the crimes. You can figure, okay, drunk. One of them was aggravated DUI, but then it gets into some of these ones, against children. It makes you very angry. We're on the line here with Chris Collins, who is the father of R.C. Collins. We also have R.C. on the line and his friend Watson, who is... I can hear there's a lot going on there, huh?
Phil, there is a lot going on here. Look at that. Yeah, that's what I mean, Dad. That's what Mr. Henry's talking about.
Mr. Collins, you got these young ladies walking by you.
I had young ladies walking by me, but I was not ogling them in the way that you thought I was. That's the part that I don't think is fair. Yeah, but Dad, you're all like, look at that and everything.
Let me go get them, sir.
No, I don't want you to go get them. This guy, this Watson that you're hanging around, what do you mean, I want you to go get them?
You want me to go get them and you can have them?
No, I don't want... Why do you attribute to me, Mr. Henry, a sexual deviancy that is obvious this Watson's got? Watson's my friend. He was my friend when nobody would be my friend. Why don't you man up? I'm trying to make you into a man.
All right, gentlemen, I don't need for you to be arguing, okay? What we're trying to do is just get to the root of the problem here, which I assume was the fact that R.C. didn't have decent parenting, and now he does, and you're going to have him there with you this coming summer. Now, you guys have talked about Watson's stepmother, Mr. Collins. Can you talk about that?
Well, yes, I will talk about that. R.C., you understand. How you doing? I'll make change for that dollar. Dad, Mr. Henry's talking to you. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
That's what I'm talking about. Are you telling me she was 40?
Who?
The lady that was going by there.
Never mind. RC's stepmother, Veronica, is large-chested. Now, RC brushed against them, against her 6 months ago. I'll remember the day as long as I live. Because as he walked by her, they were in a hallway in our home. She was in the laundry area. And she turned and she inhaled. Now, that is on her. That's not on RC. Finally, Dad, you see my way to it. I knew it.
Yeah, sir. I'm glad you believe him, sir.
Watson, I tell you what, why don't you take a powder, huh?
What?
Take a powder. Get out of here. Go on. Go peddle your papers. Hey, Dad, you're talking to my friend. You too. Go on. Beat it. Bug off. Go peddle your papers. Get out of here. Huh? I don't want those guys standing around when we're talking about delicate topics.
Well, all right, what did you mean when you said that she inhaled?
I didn't hear you.
I said, what did you mean when you said that she inhaled?
Hold on. There are people that are listening that are eavesdropping. I've got to go to a place that's a little more secure. Hold on, please. All right, this will work. This will work fine. Go ahead, sir.
You said that your wife, your wife, RC's stepmother, who's large-chested, inhaled.
Hold on. Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, babe. Nice dress.
Okay, sir.
There's people walking by. Do you mind? You guys using the elevator? Are you using the elevator? Yeah. Are you getting? Well, if you're getting in the elevator, do you mind getting in? Standing around, looking at me. Standing around. What'd you say?
Sir?
Sorry. All right. So, Phil, RC's stepmother was in the laundry room. He walked by one evening, and I witnessed this from my office. Are you people getting in that elevator? Are you going to stand there all day long playing with it? I'm going to move to another area. God. Some people are rude. God, are they rude. So, as he walked by her... As he walked by her, oh, jeez.
Well, come on, will you, sir?
This is very sensitive stuff, Mr. Henry. So when RC walked by her, I saw her go, I distinctly saw that.
Okay.
All right, so that tells you something. It means that I'm not entirely laying this at the feet of my son. And I think that you should give me credit for that.
I don't understand. So you're saying she inhaled on purpose to what? So her breasts would...
You better believe it. Why else does a grown woman, when she sees a young 16-year-old boy walk by and he's only got so much space, she goes, she inhaled. And, Mr. Henry, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you she is big. And when she inhaled, I tell you, I'd almost put him right to the wall. Now, this is a fact. This is a natural fact. All right, RC, you and your friend can come on back over here now. God, what were you doing? See, what are you, playing with it or something? Come here. Come here, young man. I'm sorry, Dad. Come here. Bend over. Take your pants down.
Sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. Don't tell me how to discipline my son. Pull your pants down, all the way down, and the underwear. That's it. Raise your...
I mean, I won't listen to that.
Well, I should say not, my God.
What's going on?
He was spanking him.
Yeah, and had him take his pants all the way down. Told him all the way down, take down your underwear.
All right, okay. Apparently RC smart-mouthed him. He said, hey, Dad, what are you doing all the way over here? Are you playing with it? And that's when his father stopped the whole conversation, and all I heard him say was, take your pants down, that's right, and your underwear.
And they're in the middle of a mall.
They're in the middle of that... Altadena Mall. Well, in any event, so what I got, basically what I got out of this is that RC has been involved in some situations at home. This stepmother sounds like she's got a freaking screw loose, because apparently she, when he walked by her in the hallway, she inhaled, so her breasts would, he had no choice, but he was pinned against the wall or something.
Yeah, that's what I heard about. He told me that.
Well, what did he tell you?
He said when he walked by her, she goes, or whatever, she inhaled. And
why do you describe it that way? Because Mr. Collins did, too.
Apparently she has asthma. So when she inhales, it goes like that, you know?
Well, she wheezes.
Yeah, she wheezes. So when she walked by her, when he walked by her, his breasts hit her, I mean,
when she walked by him and he inhaled, then his boobs. What am I saying?
No, man, you talk about her.
She inhaled.
Yeah, she inhaled, and her boob hit him, or I mean both boobs did, not just one, and like what Mr. Collins said, like to put him through a wall.
Well, that's ridiculous. No, so but the point is that she did this on purpose?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, I mean, I that sounds so bizarre. It's just goofy. It's kooky and goofy. It's goofy, you know.
Yeah. Or it's like a goody.
Yes, it's goody.
It's goody. Yeah. All right. So, thank you very much, Mr. Collins. R.C. Collins will be filling in for us at some future date, I'm sure, on the world famous Phil Hendry show. Very, very weird indeed. We've got a news story here that I think. Oh, also we have coming up Dean Wheeler. He'll be talking with us about the ongoing career of his wife, Emeralda, her singing career, which I understand is going along swimmingly, although there is a little bit of trouble in paradise having to do with the fact that Dean's film, the documentary that he had been working on, has taken a definite second place to her career. So we are going to be talking with them later on in the show, probably next hour. News from Walt Disney. The Walt Disney Company expects to begin layoffs at its studio and consumer products division within the next 2 weeks, according to two people with knowledge of the matter in the latest cost reduction step to emerge from a company-wide review. The studio job cuts will center on the marketing and home video units and include a small number from the animation wing, and the source who spoke on condition of anonymity said because the plan had not yet been made public, they can't go on the record, you know.
Now everybody was talking about anonymity.
But they, just like he said, because it's not yet public record. There's always somebody that a reporter can turn and make their... What do you think about people like that?
Well, as a reporter, you have to have them.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean... Overall, what do you think of someone who's been told by the company that he works for, don't talk to anyone? And it's nobody's going to, you know, obviously it's not against the law. But what do you think of people that go ahead and leak news?
You said you did. You did?
I didn't leak anything. Nobody told me I couldn't say anything.
Yeah, man, now I know what you're talking about.
Well, am I the last one to know? What did you leak?
I didn't leak anything. I didn't leak a thing. I saw something, and I said something to somebody about it.
Yeah, okay, then why didn't you say it was you that you did it?
What?
No, why didn't you say it was you that did it?
What am I supposed to say, man? You know, what am I going to say? Oh, by the way, that piece of news you read, that was me.
So you did leak. What did you say?
It was a long time ago. It doesn't mean anything.
Come on. You don't. I'm going to say it.
Why would you bring that up now?
Because you're bringing it up now too.
You're the one that's talking about leaking things, if you'll pardon the expression.
All right. I was over one day at Fox Television many years ago, and I saw a meeting going on. And I asked the person I was walking with, what was that meeting about? And they said it was a meeting that they were having because the Sunday night ratings had come in and they were a disaster and they were having this huge meeting out of it.
And it was over at Fox.
Yes. So when I got to the office, I called Matt Drudge.
What a god, man, sure.
Man, we're all tattletale and everything.
Oh, now I'm a tattletale, huh? Ordinarily, we think people like that are fantastic.
What a snitch.
Oh, and I'm a snitch, too. Listen, you know, when we have people to talk to the press, all of a sudden it's a good thing.
Yeah, a minute ago you said it was bad.
No, I didn't. I said, do we need people like that? All right.
You know, Phil, you have to be careful what you bring up. You never know what's going to come back and bite you on the you-know-what.
On the ass.
That's why I said you know what, because I...
Never mind, all right? Yes, I did. I called up Matt Drudge because I knew Matt, because I...
Well, why did you call him up and tell him that?
I don't know. I thought it was a piece of news that he would want. I thought it was a piece of news that he would want. I thought it was an interesting piece of news, given the fact that at that particular time, Fox was doing very, very well. I mean, they've always been doing well, but they were really riding high. And they also were trying out some new shows. And when I saw that, it was public news that the shows got canceled. That wasn't the secret. The ratings were bad, and that was published. What wasn't published was that there was this big emergency meeting that the network was having as the result of those ratings coming in. Nobody knew that. So I don't even know if that was all that big of a piece of news.
Well, don't go minimizing it now, Phil, just because you feel guilty. You know?
Well, I mean, it's not that I feel good. I'm looking at it in retrospect. What's the big deal? So they had a meeting.
Yeah, they had a meeting. Nobody knew about it.
Why don't you learn how to speak English before you're talking to me, okay?
No, he ain't the one that's... He's not the one that snitched it.
I didn't snitch anything. You know, this word snitch really bothers me. And I'll tell you why. Forget about me. Maybe I am a snitch, okay? I'd be happy to take that label on me. But I don't like this idea that because people do the right thing as citizens and maybe talk to the cops about a crime they saw, that they're snitches. This word is in the vox populi, and I ain't digging it, man. No way, no way, no way.
The vox populi. Get a load of you.
What is that, Spanish?
It's Latin. All right.
What's that?
It's a language they used to speak that they don't speak anymore. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here with more. We have Dean Wheeler coming up next hour to talk about the entertainment business, specifically his wife's career and how his is going in the toilet. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And online at philhendryshow.com. We are going to, as I mentioned, beginning this summer, we're going to start a daily podcast that's going to be show length, close to show length. I don't think we're going to be doing a three-hour podcast. No way. But we are going to be doing a daily podcast that will involve the elements of our show, including, you'll be happy to know, phone calls.
Hey. You gotta do that, man.
Well, don't worry about it. Don't you worry a thing. I mentioned that on the air the other day, and someone said, well, how are you going to do that, man, if it's just a regular podcast? Just let me worry about that, okay? Don't worry, man. I got it all figured out. All figured out. So it will include phone calls. It will be a BSP-only podcast. We're also going to be planning a video cast, which will be for public consumption. It will not be a premium content. So lots ahead on our website. We were just looking at here the mugshots from, this is the Chicago area mugshots. And the reason why, Bud was asking me, what did you say, Bud?
Well, those names, like the guy right there, Andre Gugarugu or something.
That's not Gugarugu, man.
That's not Gugarugu, it's Gerugiu. Andrea Gerugiu, and I would imagine, Phil, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Chicago being the traditional... area where a lot of Eastern Europeans settled, is that right?
Well, there are a lot of Polish people settled in Chicago.
Yes, Polish. And I would imagine that Andrew Gurugugui, now I forgot, it's...
Well, you said it's Andre, we're looking at his picture, Andre Gurugiu.
Yes. I would imagine that he's Polak, not Polak, I'm sorry.
Let's say Polak.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, do you use the N-word?
No, I most certainly... That's different, that's... I would never do that.
Well, then, well, let's not start with the other word. We're going to start calling that the P word. Let's have a little respect, okay?
Oh, let's have a little respect. All right. Then quit calling women, well...
I don't call women... Don't you start saying things that I don't say. Call women what?
You call them chicks.
So what? Women call each other chicks. This guy here, this gentleman here...
Oh, he's a gentleman now. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Resisting a peace officer, obstructing an officer, possession of drug paraphernalia.
Oh, that's really terrible stuff. I mean, if he beat up on a cop, okay, that's worse than, in my opinion, that's worse than possession of drug paraphernalia. It doesn't say that. It said he resisted a peace officer and he obstructed a peace officer.
Well, how do you know he didn't beat one up?
I don't know, but I'm just saying that, that certainly isn't murder. And I don't see anything in here about assault. It said he resisted a cop, he obstructed a cop, probably, and then it says possession of drug paraphernalia. It doesn't sound like he got the worst of it. It sounds to me like that there was an arrest wherever he was, and maybe it was of his friends, and he tried to step in between the cop and the guy, and the cop wind up throwing him in jail because you're not supposed to do that.
What did he do?
You can't resist. You can't obstruct a police officer, man, when he's making an arrest.
He probably got open his big fat mouth and said something.
He opened it, and his big fat nose, well, not his nose.
Yeah, Doug's got a big nose because of the Polish people.
What is it with you all of a sudden? You know, Margaret, I blame you for this.
What did I do?
Oh, the whole Pollock thing. And now he's in on a big nose thing.
Well, all I said was the man's name is Andre Ugugu. I can't pronounce that, Phil.
It's G-I-U-R-G-I-U.
Gugugi. Yeah, Gugugi.
Where are you getting Gugugi out of that? That's G-I what?
G-I.
I'm writing it down. G-I.
U.
G-I what?
G-I-U-R.
I've got to start all over again.
Oh, man.
Let's write it down good.
I'm writing it down good. G what?
G-I-U.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying G-U. G-I-U.
R-G-I.
Well, which is it? What?
You said G-I-U.
Don't yell at me. So help me, God, bud. I'll put my foot right through what's left of it. You're the one with only one testicle, right?
No, that's R.C., the guy that was on the phone.
Sorry. G-I...
Margaret, I'm going to do this one more time. G-I-U...
Yes.
R-G-I-U.
All right.
Which is it?
Well, you did kind of repeat it.
I didn't repeat anything, man. The guy's got some repetitious letters in his name. G-I-U, R-G-I-U.
Okay, I wrote this down, and let me look at it again here. Let me get out... I've got a Polish-English dictionary.
What are you looking at?
What does it mean? That will help me.
Yeah, if you figure out the meaning of a word.
Wait a minute. This is the guy's last name, isn't it?
Yes, but it might mean something.
Well, what difference does it make when you're going to try to pronounce it?
Never mind. G-I-U-R-G-I-U. Ah, here we are. Gugulu, or whatever it is. G-I-R-U. A fence, a division, a ditch. It says about a ditch for refuse.
Okay, does that help you?
Well, not really, no. Why would it?
Yeah, why would it?
Then why did you have your Polish-American dictionary in the first place? A ditch for refuse?
No, that's something else. You know what? I know what I did. This is the Romanian-American...
Give me that.
Phil, what are you doing?
I'm gonna throw it away. I'll rip it in half if I have to.
You know, it's a good thing, Phil, that I'm a lot older than I was when I was younger, because if I was younger, then I would be a lot younger than I am right now. And, no.
Yeah, uh-huh. What else?
Why don't you stick it?
There's Margaret. There she goes to the bathroom.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Goo goo goo.
Yeah, well, how do you pronounce it?
I told you guys. Guruji-u. That's about as good as anybody's done it here, okay?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Henry.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Now, what?
Well, I'll just tell you a minute. Welcome back here, final hour, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. Happy to be with you. And online, as always, as we will always be, forevermore, at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And our daily podcasts, both our premium podcast of our daily show. Excuse me, I belched. I didn't mean to, but that's just those things happen.
Yeah, man, you belched and you're giving everybody a hard time about it.
I didn't go burp like you do, or excuse me, Margaret, like you do. I tried to hold it back in, and it was very difficult, and that's just the way it's going to be. And no comment, please, because I got to get through this. Now, we have our premium podcast of our daily show. We also have the archive podcast that we do that's available to you on a variety of outlets, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. That podcast now, the most recent 25, of course, will remain available to you, but the others have gone behind the, as we say, the paywall. They've gone over to the premium side of things, And so our backstage pass members have a little extra added benefit there. But as I said to you before we took our break, we have some wonderful things planned for you during the summer. Now, what did you want to ask me, Margaret?
The guitar player that you were playing during the break, which a lot of the people didn't hear because you didn't, if you didn't have a subscription, but you were playing a guitar player. What was his name?
Michael Bloomfield.
Yeah. Okay.
Excuse me, bud, but I haven't finished talking.
All right. Does everything have to be an argument?
When he butts in, yes.
I was just going to...
Quiet, bud.
My question is, you said he's what?
His name is Michael Bloomfield.
Yes, Bloomfield. Now, you said that this man, in your opinion, was as good as Hendrix or Clapton. Is that right?
I was saying that when Hendrix and Clapton were at their height, their commercial appeal, that there were three guitar players that were always mentioned in those days. It wasn't just Hendrix. It wasn't just Clapton. It was also Michael Bloomfield. There was nobody else that came close to those three guys when it came to absolute proficiency at playing the guitar. Now, you can say that Hendrix was the best. I would agree with that. I'm not even sure that, you know, I'm not the biggest Eric Clapton fan. There's not a problem with that, though. The guy's fantastic. But yeah, Michael Bloomfield. Now, he's been lost to history He's been lost to history in a way. Because, as I said, while Clapton and Hendrix had hit records, they were literally commercially extremely successful performers. Michael Bloomfield did not have the commercial success. He had a lot of fans. I'm one of them. And he was on a lot of great records. He played with the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. He played on the Super Session albums with Al Kooper. And he also had his own band called the Electric Flag, which was a big group at the time. But he didn't have the monster commercial success. And that's why people don't remember him. And it's an interesting thing because that's the way history is. You know, history is fascinating. Unless people have heard of you, as good as you may have been, you really aren't prominent in the stories that are told. And yet, contemporaneously, back in the day, everybody knew Michael Bloomfield, and they knew Hendrix, and they knew Clapton. And even today, if you listen to those records, the one that we played was a band he had with one of his bandmates from Electric Flag. You heard that guitar playing. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Yes, but you're saying that he was right up there with Clapton and
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix, yes. And I think, isn't that... I mean, I've never heard of him, frankly.
Yeah, I never heard of him either.
Well, okay, you never heard of him.
And as you say, history only records the names of those we've heard of.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So that's why I just thought I would mention that, you know.
And I think you brought his name up for an obvious reason.
What reason's that?
Because you're probably destined for the same ignominy.
Dignanimity?
You're destined for the same anonymity.
Anonymity.
Is that what you're trying to say? I'm destined for the same anonymity?
I'm sorry, yes, I carved up the word. It's igdabubity. No, it's not.
You're doing that on purpose, trying to be funny, because you just said something that you think was going to hurt me, and it doesn't. It doesn't hurt me at all.
You're not hurt by the fact that you're headed for the same dignity.
Why don't you... She wasn't funny doing it the first time. You're not now, okay?
Yeah, but you hear what you just said? You said, why don't you...
It did sound like you were gargling something, Mr. I don't mean to say nothing, but...
All right, fine. The point here is that I'm destined for the same sort of trash heap of history. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say it was a trash heap, Phil. I just said that, you know...
Fine.
Fine?
Yes, fine. It's not worrying me. It's not worrying me at all.
That no one will remember you.
I don't care, Margaret. I care about having fun when I come in here every night. That's all I care about, having fun. Do you understand? All I care about is to come in here and have some laughs. I don't give a damn about anything else.
You don't even care if nobody's heard about you or you have the anonymity.
No, I don't care if nobody's heard of me and I have the anonymity. No, I don't. All I care about is enjoying myself because this is where we spend most of our time. It is when we are working. This is where we give most of our heart and our soul. When we're not giving it to our family, we're giving it to our jobs. And by God, folks, and let this be a lesson,
Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. You brought it up. Here we go. Let this be a lesson to all of you fine young people listening, those of you that are allowed to stay up past your bedtime. You know, it ain't worth it, man, unless you're doing a gig in your life that you love, it ain't going to be worth it. I'm telling you right now, if you're going to college, whatever the hell it is you're doing, and you're taking some class, you're taking some course, and you want to, you know, become a this or a that because you figure that's where the money is, Jack, you're making a big mistake. I just saw a thing in a paper the other day, and I couldn't believe it. Is there a lawsuit that a group of lung, a young,
lung?
Young, okay?
Yeah, but you did say lung.
All right, so I said lung. I made a mistake.
It would have been funny if you'd said there's a group of lungs suing, what, the cigarette companies? Well, Phil, it's no worse than some of the...
All right, fine, Margaret. That was ha 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 ha. It was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, if you're doing a job that you don't like, it ain't worth it. And I saw this article where there's a group of young law students suing their law schools because they can't get jobs. Now, wait just a second here. You know, you are the guy that made the decision to go into law school. Don't give me this horse dung that somehow you got finagled. They're calling it fraud, almost as if it's consumer fraud, meaning they went into this law school with some promise or some pledge from the law school that they would be placed with prominent firms. Now, if that's the case, I suppose, or they would be placed with a law firm, period. If that's the case, then I think maybe they got a they have a case. But is that what they're saying? I think what they're really saying is they went into law school because it was understood or was the cultural belief that they would get a job as a lawyer when they got out of law school. And look, guess what? There's no jobs, you know.
Well, what if they did say, you know, we promise you a job with a law firm?
Then they're idiots. Whatever school would promise something like that has got to be, I mean, in big, big, serious trouble. They got serious need for students, I guess. If that's the case, then they've got a case. But I'm telling you, if it's simply a matter of them saying, you know, maybe I should have read the story first.
Yeah, there you go. You're going to sound like a real idiot.
Well, I don't know what the story says. What did it say?
I don't know. I didn't read it. I was just saying that from what I got from it.
Ms. Henry, you got to read the story first, because maybe what they're saying is the law school said that you'll get a job at a law firm, and they found out that they didn't get a job at a law firm. Now they got a case. You understand what I'm saying? You got to read. You got to read, man.
All right, Robert, I'll read it.
No. Can't just say, all right, Robert, I'll read it. You got to do it. This happened a lot. And Mr. Hall said that I'm his eyes and ears now on this stuff, and you got to get with it, man.
Hey, where do you get off talking to a white man like that?
Hey, man, hey, watch it, okay? You talk that white man stuff?
Just kidding around.
I told you not to kid like that, bud.
You understand what Mr. Hall said? He said you got to make sure what it is you're talking about before you talk about it.
Bud, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Do you understand?
Are you listening to the way the guy's talking to you? Almost like you're the guy that drives the car.
Hey, man, hey, watch it.
Oh, God. You're right, Robert. You're absolutely right, okay?
Yeah. Mr. Renner, I think you deserve to be remembered for a lot of the stuff that you've done, good and bad, you know?
Yes, I agree with that. You should be remembered for the things you did.
What does that mean, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, it's almost like RC brushing up against big boobs. How's a guy going to help it if a lady got big boobs and she goes, inhale?
I think all three of you should be locked in a padded cell. How do you feel about that, huh? Let me get your opinions on that. Margaret?
I don't like it.
Robert?
Why?
No. Just do you...
No.
Bud?
Uh-uh.
Then just cool it. Because the three of you sound like you belong in a nut house. All right, we come back. We got Dean Wheeler coming up. He'll be talking with us about his wife, Emeralda, her career, the entertainment business. Why is Disney laying people off? There's a whole thing that's going on, man. We'll talk about it. We come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks for listening. We love you.
Truth is our
bitch. Don't hear about that, man.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Don't you ever say that to me again.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We might have had just a bit of a audio burp there. That was my fault. Brought up the wrong pot. We do have on the line Dean Wheeler and his wife, Emeralda. I brought up the news story here. Do we have time for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
A bunch of young lawyers are suing their law schools because they don't have jobs is the headline. Now, a bunch of recently graduated and unemployed lawyers are suing their law schools for false hope. A total of 75 alumni, but I can't, is that?
Yes, he's on stage right now, Mr. Henry.
That's nice. I'm reading the story.
Yeah, it was Ms. Emeralda.
Emeralda, hold on. I'll talk to him.
Go ahead, talk to Dean, because I got to...
Hi, Dean. Hi, Margaret. Phil's still reading a news story. Hold on. Shh.
Thank you. A bunch of recently graduated...
Hold on. Could you... What, Phil?
I can't hear myself with the thing going on.
He can't hear anything. How you doing, dear? She sounds great. Go ahead, Phil.
A bunch of recently graduated and unemployed lawyers. You know what? I'll do it later. Can we put him on hold at least?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, this is what I'm talking about here.
Well, what, Phil?
Well, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we got a whole generation of people that got their thumbs wedged so far up their asses. What is that about, bud?
What?
Why couldn't you just the thought of doing that instead of me having to tell you?
Well... I mean...
Yeah. I'm sitting here battling with the audio coming out of that nightclub. I'm trying to read a story, and then I say, how about turning it down? Oh, well, yeah, okay, Mr. Henry.
Well, you didn't tell me to.
Oh, I didn't tell you to. I didn't tell you to. Isn't that right, Margaret? I didn't tell him to.
Well, Phil, you've got to tell him to.
What is it with these people? I'm telling you, there's a whole generation of people now, man. Now, I don't want to start... I'm not bagging on young people, because I said during the pre-show, I said this is the finest generation of young people I've seen in years, including my own generation. I'm not kidding you. There's kids today with more guts than my generation ever had. I'm not talking about everybody, but I mean, pound for pound per capita, there's more guts with kids today than my generation. So this has got nothing to do with... I'm just saying, we also have a segment of the population... that they think they ought to get a pay raise because they showed up for work 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah, I was just waiting to get the directions from you.
Yeah, but if you see me struggling with the audio and I can't hear myself, what did you think you should do?
Well,
Do you mind taking your finger out of your nose?
Your finger's in your nose, bud.
Oh, okay.
Never mind, man. Put Mr. Wheeler up, please.
All right.
Go ahead, turn up Mr. Wheeler.
Right.
I don't hear him.
Oh, Dean? Hey. Where are you? Well, what's it sound like? Oh, okay.
What is that, man?
That's a nightclub.
That ain't a nightclub. That's iTunes. Get him on the butt. I'm going to belt you again.
Sorry. Yeah, is that you?
Well, where's Phil?
Right here, Dean. I'm sorry, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, but, Emeralda's on stage right now. I don't want
to... I understand. I wanted to ask you about a couple of things.
Okay, hold on for just a minute, huh? She's doing great. She's just doing so much better, Phil. I don't know. Have you been up here yet? Have you seen her? I know that we got you... Great, baby. Great, outstanding. I know we got you a couple of tickets. We wanted to see you and... Pookie or Snooky Poopy Poo or who the hell... Who's the chick you were going to bring with you?
I'm not bringing any chick with me.
Well, who's Buttons or some little love handle?
That's probably me and my girlfriend.
Bud says it was him and his girlfriend. What's your girlfriend's name?
Vivian.
I'm not leaving tickets for him. Are you nuts? Oh, she's doing it again. I prayed to God. Last night I got on my knees.
Look, we've got to...
No, hold on. Just indulge me, Phil. Last night I got on my knees and I prayed to God. I said, please, God, if there's one thing that I don't want her to do, it's the whispering. And guess what? She's doing it.
Well, has she got a mental block or something?
I'm telling you, it's that horn player.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Either fire that guy or something. I'm getting tired of hearing about him.
She's doing the whispering. Hey, Eddie, what did I tell you about that, huh? She's whispering again. What? Why don't you shut up?
Dean, can we talk a little bit here on the air, here on the Phil Henry Show?
I apologize, Phil. Sure, go ahead. Hit me.
I noticed there were layoffs at Disney, and I know that you've been getting heavier and heavier into the entertainment business, and I guess you're leaving your spa business behind, huh?
I'm not leaving the spa business behind. Would you sing? Sing! you, Phil. She's up there. You know what I'm going to do? When we get home, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to whisper everything to her. Is that what you want me to do, baby? Hey, baby.
You shut your mouth.
Who the hell do you think you're talking to?
All right, Dean, I'm going to hang up, man, because obviously you're going to get into another fight, and it's going to wind up the same way it usually does.
No, 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 don't go. Please don't go. Please don't go. Please don't go. Because as long as I'm on the phone with you, I won't get violent.
Now, you know, I've been avoiding the topic, but we might as well talk about it.
What topic?
The fact that you got... There was a problem up there because we saw the police blotter. You were arrested, right?
I was arrested, yes. I was not arrested for domestic violence. I was arrested because it was a disturbing of the peace. Was it a disturbing of the peace, Beef? Where's Terry? It was disturbing the peace, right, Terry?
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry said it was disturbing the peace. I got loud, she got loud, we threw things, somebody got thrown somewhere. I don't know, I didn't pick anybody up and throw them. She tried to throw me. Ask her.
She tried to throw... What does that mean, she tried to throw you?
She tried to pick me up and throw me through a window. Now, she's big. God knows she's big. God bless the girl. She's huge. But she's not so big. And that's why I said don't whisper. Because a chick that big... Excuse me for saying. When you stand up on stage and you're mammoth, you're huge like she is, and then you go... People think you're being... It doesn't play. I can't believe it. I mean, I've asked her. I've begged her.
Well, what happened at the house?
I said to her, you got to promise me that you don't whisper. You got to promise me that you quit making the goo-goo eyes at that horn player.
So you were being jealous with her.
Look, Phil, she's my wife.
Is she cheating on you?
No. Oh, man, I'm going to hurt something. I'm going to hurt somebody.
You don't like that whispering thing, man. I guarantee you. If she likes doing it, and she's doing it despite what you say, she's going to keep doing it.
You think so? Well, thanks a lot for that newsflash. Like, I haven't thought of that. Quit with the whispering!
You had a fight. What happened?
We had a fight. The police were called. It was a disturbing the peace. I didn't get arrested. For where did you hear domestic abuse?
That's what I thought. I heard when the cops come to your house, that's what people are going to think. You're on your way to a bad thing here, man. Every time I used to talk to you, things were going good. You had the Dean Wheeler Spa. You had...
I know.
You had it all going on, and you were doing fine. And ever since she started with this singing career, you're flipping your lid more and more.
I don't know what it is. I'm trying to... it's not that I don't mind... It's not that I mind her singing. It's not. It's when she does the stuff that I ask her not to do that. She's spending a whole half of this set going... Hey, Emmy! Look, it's seeing everybody's encouraging her.
You know what? You might as well just let her do it. If I were you, I'd stay the hell away from her club dates. I would stay home. I'd have somebody else, you know, go and travel with her to the gigs. And you concentrate on your thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. She's got a horn player that wants to do something with that horn other than blow it. Although she may want to take horn lessons the way she's been...
You know, talking about your own wife like that, man, is not very respectful.
Oh, is that right? I said to her the other day, I said, honey, let's just go ahead and put it on the table. Do you want to take horn lessons? And she said to me, and she was very coy, too, she turned around, and when the woman's that big, she turned around and had to duck because she had to... Never mind, I can't...
Dean, you're getting distracted. I know you love her, but the stuff you're talking about... And the way you're talking about it is very disturbing, and I'm seeing a guy coming apart.
Bet I'm coming apart.
Hang on. Dean Wheeler with us here on the world famous... I don't want to... Don't hang up on him, okay?
Yeah, but Dean, we're going to keep you on for another segment.
What is his problem?
He's PW.
You got that right, ma'am.
He is. He's afraid to tell her in no uncertain terms, you know. Quit with the whisper. He doesn't like her stage act. I don't know if you can do anything about it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, listen to me. I'm Emerald. Isn't that great? That's a hit record there.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, Dean Wheeler, and we're on the line with Dean here. This is an entertainment segment, but we're doing a little bit of. It feels like I'm doing some kind of psychological counseling here, Dean. You'll forgive me, and I know that Emerald is still on stage here. I don't know where you want to go with this. We were talking about the entertainment business.
I'll tell you this much, Phil. Here is a piece of the entertainment business that I think I would talk about, and maybe it has something to do with me. I'm sure that it does, and that is the fascination that we have in the culture right now, particularly with Walking Dead and just about everywhere you turn, people are making the they're alluding to the popularity of the zombie fantasy. Now, you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with me and or you or any of us. I think it, in some ways it's a fascination with death. But the other thing that I think the zombie fascination is about is the fascination of just going wherever you want, taking whatever you want to stay alive and killing the zombies, you know. And as your friend Dan said during the break when we were talking about it, you know, taking your aggressions out on the zombies. And I wish to God I had that in my life. I look at my wife. I love her very much. She's hot. She's beautiful. Guys love her. I gave her this. I said, go ahead. You know, we had a beautiful little business.
All right, you know, just not to interrupt you. You had a nice business. You guys, she was sharing in the holistic center and in the spa.
Yes, and she was doing very well, and I had her with me, and I could keep her with me. And now she wants to be on stage. All right, I don't want to keep my wife from being happy, but where do I go? Do I have zombies, not to be silly, but what zombies do I have that I can go and beat the hell out of us? I would love to be one of those guys. I would love to be a guy that had a zombie and I could just kill it. God, I hate it.
Okay, that's what scares me, what you just did there.
Well, it's not fair. I'm looking at my wife every night. You know what she's doing now? She's caressing the microphone and the mic stand like it's, she's, you know what I mean by that?
Oh, is it phallic?
Yes. And she's running her hand up and down the mic stand as if to say...
You know, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
She's running her hand up and down the mic stand as if to say, I wish that there was one this big.
Oh, stop, Dean. Just as Phil said, you're driving yourself nuts.
Well, why is she doing that?
I'm telling you, your wife is an entertainer. She's playing and she's singing a sexy song. You're gonna drive that woman away from you, and you're gonna drive yourself crazy with all of this stuff.
All I'm saying is, it's in the culture, and everyone that's listening right now, they understand what I'm saying. If I had a zombie or a group of zombies, I could go and just kill every last one and kill and kill and kill and kill. God!
Why is this making you angry?
What?
Why is it making you angry?
I'm listening to her going, da, 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 and she's running her hand up and down the mic stand like, boy, oh boy, you ought to be married to what I'm married to, man. Because I'll tell you, if I was going to run my hand up and down something, it wouldn't be this. It would be more like it'd be more like just one of those miniature flagpoles, or I don't know. And they're applauding her, so they're encouraging her. And here it comes again. I know it's coming now. Please don't make her whisper.
See what I'm saying? No matter how long we talk to you about this stuff, you're flipping out.
Dean, I want to talk to you. This is Margaret. And I'm going to give you something from a woman's point of view, all right?
Yes, I could use that. I know she's going to whisper. But hold on.
Don't listen to it. I want you to listen to me.
No, wait, hold on. Oh, there it goes again. Hey, Emmy. Yeah, she thinks she's so sexy. I had to go up there and pull her clothes off. Well, that'd just make people...
You know,
Yeah? Cat got your tongue?
I want to tell you, man, you be a smartass all you want, but you're flipping your lid.
Dean, I want to give you a woman's perspective. She's up there playing to the audience. She's just giving them what they want. It doesn't mean that she doesn't love you. Just because she's running her hand up and down a mic stand... Let me get frank. You respect a man's opinion. Phil obviously isn't making an impression.
Well, that's not to say that Phil's not a man, but...
But what?
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing from Frank, because he's a long time... He's had syphilis for a long time, which doesn't mean that he cheats on you, Margaret. I know he had it before you got married, right?
Yes.
But because he has well, I don't know how to put it, but because he has syphilis, he must know something about women.
Yeah, that's a very healthy point of view.
Well, Phil?
What, are you sorry you don't have syphilis?
Yes, that's right. I'm so disappointed. What?
God, even I know that's the dumbest thing.
Why don't you do this, bud? Why don't you reaffix your drool bucket and call my husband, please?
Yeah, that's not fair.
Just do it, man.
Call up Frank. We have Dean Wheeler on the line with us. His wife, Emeralda, is on stage. She is singing into her second set of the evening, Dean.
Yeah, this is the second set. She's doing very well. She's doing very well. I'm just afraid that when they finally do offer her the record deal, she's going to dump me like I'm... like a bad habit. She's going to dump me like I'm the worst, like a bad habit.
Okay.
Hey, Frank Gray. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, I'm better than Custer, young man. How you doing?
I got Dean Wheeler on the phone.
Hey, Dean, how's it going? Mr. Gray, it's nice to talk to you, sir. Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Who am I listening to there?
That's Emeralda Wheeler. I don't know if you and Margaret, you guys saw her.
Yeah, honey, do you remember we saw Emeralda and Dean when they were down here at LaFleur's?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was the young lady that was singing the... he was the young lady that was on stage whispering, and Dean, it was driving you ape. I remember you were jumping around like an ape in that, like an ape with a suitcase. It makes me crazy that she was doing that. You know, I wouldn't worry about it. I think he's a good singer. I think he's a beautiful young lady. And I think that even though he's huge, how tall is he? Well, Emeralda, she's about 6'1". She's letting this get to her, isn't she?
You talking about Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dean, tell Frank what's driving you crazy.
Frank, my wife is a beautiful woman. Yes, she is huge. 6'1", that means that she's taller. She's 6 inches taller than me. And that's never easy, okay? That's what I told you. I told you, if you've got a wife that's bigger than you, like he is, then you have to assert yourself even more. Now, Margaret, thank God, Margaret's shorter than me. But now Margaret is taller than me because I'm in a wheelchair and he's still standing. Okay? Okay, I don't know what that's got to do with anything. Let me tell you what it's got to do with. The fact that Margaret is still standing, I used to stand. Now I'm in a wheelchair. Now he's bigger than me. He used to be smaller. When we got married, and he and I stood at the altar, and I told him that I would love him until the day we both dropped. And then I kissed his beautiful lips and put a ring. I'm starting to get emotional.
Okay, can we bypass the memory lane thing and let's get to...
Whoa there, sunshine. Who are you talking to?
Phil, let Frank tell the story.
No, man, because it's going on and on and on and on. I want to find out. I want to help Dean here, okay?
I'm going to help Dean. So why don't you cut your big bazoo off for 5 seconds so I can talk to her? Is she there? I'm right here, yeah. Okay, Dean. Look, you're a man. I'm a man. What are we married to? Women. And what do you say to him before the two of you kiss goodnight?
Well, I say I love you.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I say to him, my wife. And I tell him that I love him.
Hold on, Emeralda's coming.
You know what? The hell with all of you people. You call me up. You get my ass out of bed so I can talk to this weirdos, all of you.
Honey, I'll see you at home, okay?
Yeah. Boy, what about that guy calling us weirdos? He's calling everybody he and she. I don't believe... Hey, hold on. Emeralda, honey, come here. I don't want you whispering. You understand me? How about that?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about a woman that tells her husband to drop dead.
Come here for a minute. Hey, you. Come here. Emeralda, come here. When I tell you to come here, you come because you're the woman, I'm the man.
What do you want?
I told you not to whisper, and you're up there going, that. What's that about?
Harry thought it was good.
Harry thought it was good? Well, guess what? I'm going to take care of Harry. When you get up there, I want you belting it out. Belt it out. Sing it out. Don't go, You understand?
Breath mints.
Breath mints?
Okay, Dean, good luck, all right?
Leaving me in the lurch, huh?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, why did you hang up on him? He may commit suicide.
Oh, bull crap. That guy is psycho. And by the way, Frank, boy, you know something? He's got a pair on him.
And why do you say that?
I mean, I call him up, just ask some advice, and he's suddenly all blah, blah, you know. Look, if he doesn't want me calling him this late, I won't call him this late, okay? But he said it was okay, and then he gets on the air, and then he starts going down memory lane and telling a whole bunch of stories, and I just want him to get to the point.
He was talking about the day that he and I got married, Phil.
I know that, but the way he tells it, he's got gender confusion. So he's saying, when I kissed his sweet lips.
Oh, what a homophobe.
Are you a... That's not a gay marriage we're talking about, Margaret.
Yeah, talk about a guy... The guy's talking weird.
I know he's talking weird, but you don't like him saying he, because look at the flabby ass on that woman, will you?
Will you turn the TV off for 5 seconds?
He said he, but he means she.
Yeah, that's great. He said he, but he means she. The audience doesn't know that. It just sounds weird, okay?
Newsman, I gotta agree with that. The man talking about kissing his tender lips, and immediately you want to think about a beautiful wedding day between a man and a woman, and he's going, then I slipped the ring on his tender finger, and then I, well, you can guess the rest.
Yeah, but if he said, then he and I had sex, and he talked about anal, and...
Will you shut up?
My God, how dare you?
Well, just shut up. All right, Frank. Nice knowing you, man. We'll have Frank back on, but I'm not gonna listen to him giving me crap.
Phil, Frank Gray is one of the most powerful attorneys in Hollywood. How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I? We'll be right back, folks, to conclude, to wrap up, to whatever the hell you want to call this, to wipe up, to take the garbage out. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I'll tell you that.
The Phil Hendry
he was
Show.
Lovely. And the fact that you don't want to hear about me marrying Margaret, and when I took him in my arms that night.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I wanted to, and I was remiss because we were going to get into this a little bit earlier, a story here having to do with Target. And apparently, let me just take a look at this. Target issues dress apology. And guess why they're having to issue this dress apology?
Why?
Because it's called Manatee Gray. Target issued an apology today for an offensive color label on a dress sold online. An online shopper noticed today that a dress on Target.com was available in dark heather gray for one size, but manatee gray for the large size. A photo of the offensive label started circulating around the internet, causing many people to wonder if the picture was actually real. Well, it is real. Thankfully, Target has already issued an apology for the dress label, saying that it was an unintended oversight. Target spokeswoman Jessica Deed told Forbes magazine, "We never want to offend any of our guests. We apologize for any discomfort we may have caused. We are in the process of fixing the discrepancy and updating Target.com so the gray dress will be available in all styles." We're in all styles. I mean, what you're talking about here is a dress in all sizes. And I'm sure that there is no style difference between the smaller size and the larger size, other than the fact that there's an obvious, it's going to look different on a large woman as opposed to a small woman. But that's what they call style is color. And so when you say manatee gray.
But, well, I don't understand.
A manatee is a large animal.
Yeah, it's like manatees are called sea cows. Have you ever heard of a sea cow?
Uh-uh.
Well, they're down in Florida, man. They're in the canals there. They are a protected species, as a matter of fact. And they're very, they're in their own way, they're beautiful creatures. They're almost like Florida's version of the sea lion, you know. That's like Florida's own personal little seagoing mammal. And I'm sure that they're also native to some other waters. But
aren't they? I thought they were down in China.
What do you mean down in China, man? You mean like over in China?
No, what do you mean over in China?
China's not. China's down.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. China's. What do you mean down in China?
I said that. What do you mean down in China?
No, I said that.
I'm sorry, he said that.
Margaret, wait. You said down in China. China is to the west here, okay?
Well, it depends on where you are. But yes, I understand.
Yeah, so that's down there.
Bud, you keep out of it. Okay?
Yeah.
You keep out of it. China is to the west, so we could say over in China, but down in China?
Well, what's the one... Oh, that's Australia.
Yeah.
Hey, shut up, man.
Yes, Bud, would you shut up?
Australia is the island nation down there, and China is over there.
I got it. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this is what they talk about. Nobody knows geography.
I beg your pardon. I know my geography very well. I made a very common mistake.
No, I don't think you did.
Phil, not everybody is into geography like you are.
So most people think that Australia is China.
Yeah, on a map they do.
If you say one more word, I'm going to knock you out cold.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes, I am, because I'm getting tired of you butting in.
Well, come on, Phil. I mean, he's just doing what he usually does.
I know, but tonight he's bugging me. You're bugging me bad, man. I'm going to knock you out cold. You understand?
Yeah.
All right.
All I was saying...
My God, you knocked him out.
I told him. Didn't I tell him?
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble for that.
I don't care. Bud, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, wake him up.
Get a bucket of water on him.
Hey, Bud.
Hey.
Take him outside.
Take him out near the hose, Robert.
Yeah.
Turn the hose on him.
Yeah.
Yay.
You really clocked him.
I said I was sick and tired of listening to him butt in, and I meant it, and that's just the end of that. Thank you very much.
Well, what if he calls the police or something?
I guess I'm going to jail. Now then, Manatee Gray. So is that what we're talking about here?
We're talking about some big fat broad that I don't know what the case is, but it sounds to me like some big fat broad got upset. I'm sorry to say it that way. But she's looking at the online catalog. She's a big fat tub of guts. She saw this and she decides to make hay while the sun shines.
So you think this is a cynical attack by her? This is a woman that got offended, or whoever it was. I didn't even know it was a woman.
Guaranteed it was a woman. A big fat tub. There's no doubt in my mind it was a big, huge woman.
Bud, you all right?
Hey. I don't think he is, man. I still out a little bit. I'll walk him around.
Walk him around. We never want to offend any of our guests. We apologize for any discomfort that may have been caused. We're in the process of fixing the discrepancy and updating Target.com so the gray dress will be available in all styles. We're working on updating our systems now. Deed said that Target issues Manatee Gray for many products. Towels, rain boots, and shirts are all available in the color, which by itself isn't really offensive. What's true, that Target uses Manatee Gray for many products, while it's true, those products typically remain the same color regardless of size. So they're showing a bunch of gray products. And you have here like towels that are gray, a Manatee Gray, they have Easy Care sheets, they have solid texture pillows, blah, 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 blah. But only in one size is the Manatee Gray.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not like Target went out there and did it on purpose. It is their Manatee Gray color.
But Manatee Gray in the big size offended that lady.
Yeah, she's a big fat tub that got upset. What if they have Manatee Gray in a smaller size?
Well, do they?
I don't know.
I mean, if they have this gray, if you're a small woman and you want a version, you want a small size in this dress and you want gray, then you would get Manatee Gray, wouldn't you?
I imagine that you would. And this is the point that no one is making, that it may be offensive to this big tub of gut. You know, I'm sorry, Phil.
Boy, you are really laying it on thick here, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not always on the side of women when I think, if you're a tiny woman and you are wearing the Manatee Gray, it's not going to upset you. Although, even if I was a small, like a size 4, and someone said, here's our Manatee Gray, I'd say, what is that about? Are you trying to make me out to be a big tub of guts? But I would think the more appropriate color for a small woman would be small bird gray, you know, like a little tiny bird gray or something. If you're big, all right, then what are you going to expect? Are you honestly going to put on a something that's like, you know, small, teeny bird gray?
I don't know if they're going to call it that.
Well, if you're a big woman, what do you expect? You're going to have to get into manatee or sea cow gray and like it.
Margaret, no woman is going to do that.
I'm a woman, and I'm telling all of my sisters out there, if you're big, live in it, son, live in it.
Son?
That's, never mind. If you're big, then you're going to get Manatee Gray and you're going to like it. Okay? Thank you. I'm Margaret Gray. How about getting Margaret Gray?
Hey, there's an answer. Target, instead of Manatee Gray, Margaret Gray.
Still going to be big. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Oh!
There, I just clocked him.
Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. For all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, please, folks, go to philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and join us online at philhendryshow.com and all them other places. And until tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.